extra effort to reach men and women for Christ, what value and what use is my Christianity if I cannot do that which God wants me to do? Today's lesson. Why and when God gives man up? Why God gives man up and when God gives man up? It's a two-part lesson. Further on, I'll tell you some of what is in store for the second part of the lesson. As my memory recalls now, I remember that in that second part of the lesson, we are going to learn that when men and women abandon true divine worship, all sort of consequences happen, and that is from God's own word. When men abandon the worship of God, they put themselves in a slippery slope spiritually, morally, physically, and otherwise. That's some of what's coming up in the second part of the lesson. But today, let us hear the passage again, particularly verse 24 and 28 of the book of Romans.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
May I? Take the phrase which talks about who worship the creature more than the Creator. And we would immediately feel that, thank God, I'm not worshiping any created thing. Are you sure? Did you know that anything that would hinder me from giving to God what is his due, any worldly, secular thing that I would pay attention to and that would use up my time and effort and commitment? We will talk more about that next week. When God gives up on a person, that man or woman spiritually and eternally, or rather that person's spiritual and eternal situation, becomes totally hopeless. I repeat, when the Almighty God, watch here, our parents can give up on us, our friends can give up on us, and that happens often. Our government can give up on us. Our community can give up on us. Family members can give up on us. But none has the consequence of that as when God gives up on us. As I said, when God gives up on a man or a woman, that man or woman's spiritual and eternal situation becomes totally hopeless. In Romans chapter 1, verse 24 to verse 28, which the brother has just read, it talks about God gave them up. Another way that is translated, that is in keeping with the original text, is God handed them over. That's another rendering of the very same word. There is nothing passive. There is nothing passive in God's action here when he talks about God gives them up. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned or simply just turned his back and then God gave them up. It's not simply a passive action by God. Are we there? It's not that God simply leaves them up to their ways. That's part of it. God gives them up means that the Almighty God took active, positive step against them. You see, there is a difference between my not paying you any attention, me just ignore you. That's one way that God gives up on man. God just decide that his restraining, merciful influence is withdrawn. That's one way. But what the passage here is talking about is not that God that sort of stop paying you attention. He's going to pay these particular people, man or woman, attention, but it is negative attention. Are we all there? In 5 verses, from around verse 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, in 5 verses of Romans chapter 1, 3 times the phrase is used, God gave them up. In just 5 verses. In verse 24, it states that God gave them up. In verse 26, it states that God gave them up. In verse 28, it states that God gave them up. And in each case, it sort of gives you a hint in respect to why. Are we all there? The repetition. Yes. 3 times in 5 verses, the same thing is repeated. The repetition shows the seriousness. Are we all there? And the intensity and the dreadfulness of the fate of those whom God has handed over or gave up to the consequence of their disobedience and rebellion. That's why the repetition, 3 times, showing the intensity, the dreadfulness, and the seriousness of the sin, of the rebellion, and of the disobedience. Wait. God gave up, the merciful, gracious God giving up people that they will be condemned eternally. Yes, but you see, Romans chapter 1 is not new. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God has been giving up on man since the dawn of time. Romans chapter 1 is dealing with the pre-Christian period. The Old Testament, beyond, and during that period. And wait. Using it as instructive warning to us. to know more about the Almighty God and not to so act that God will give up on us too. But it is the giving up by God. It is in keeping with God's judicial and punitive justice throughout the time that God has been dealing with man. God gave up on Pharaoh of Egypt. But Brother Mitchell, God hardened his heart only because Pharaoh had hardened his heart against obeying God. So you will learn in this lesson that God gives us that which we genuinely like and want. God gave up on Pharaoh, but not only Pharaoh. That was in the beginning when he led the Israelites out of slavery, bondage in Egypt. But God gave up on Balaam, one of his own servants. Are we all here? Well, that was when the children of Israel were marching to the promised land in the wilderness. God gave up on Balaam. But God didn't finish there. God gave up on Ahab, a king of Israel. All of these are situations when men show that they did not really respect God and his word, and they didn't want to serve him. Look at Exodus 5:2, quick. And 14:4, quick. Let us hear it. Exodus 5:2 and 14:4.
And Pharaoh said,
mm-hmm.
Who is the Lord
mm-hmm.
that I should obey his voice?
You know a tragedy here? It was a tragedy for Pharaoh and in the time of Pharaoh, and it is still a tragedy today. When Pharaoh asks, who is the Lord? That is instructive. Because, yes, brothers and sisters, when we do not know God, there are all sorts of wrong things that we are likely to end up in and place us and God at distance. Who is God? That's a tragedy, Pharaoh. It was for him and it is for us. Who is God? Read.
Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice
mm-hmm.
to let Israel go? I know not the Lord.
That's the tragedy. And Pharaoh didn't know it. Just like men today. That sometimes they make statements and they feel wise and proud and smart aleck. They don't even realize what they are saying. I don't know the Lord. That was Pharaoh's tragedy. Now step down, brother, to chapter 14, verse 4 following.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart.
You see, now this is what comes. You see, when men harden their heart against God, then now, God will give you more of what you want. Christian, take instruction and take warning. Backsliding Christian, take special care in understanding this. What God said there?
and I will harden Pharaoh's heart.
That's part of how the Almighty God give up on man. Wait. The Almighty God will, are we all there? Set the trap that the wrong things you want, if that's what you want, at the expense of the right way God is giving you, but you don't like the right way, God himself will give you much more of the wrong thing. And the Almighty God will be like when somebody hypnotize you, you say where they want you to, and all this fooling. It's like when God walk up upon you. That's right. Brother Mitchell, you believe in Obia? No. But if the concept of Obia is that somebody can put a spell on you, the one person who can put a spell on you is God.
That's true.
And he has put the spell on Pharaoh already, because Pharaoh had abandoned the right way and decided that he will take up arms against God. He's going to challenge God. We'll be saying a little more about that and men and women today. We read, brother, you were at verse 4 of chapter 14.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart.
I will harden Pharaoh's heart.
That he shall follow after them.
That he will follow after the Israelites. Wait. You know what? Over the years, sometimes you have members who backslide, grow unfaithful little by little until they backslide. And then you meet them and you talk to them. And you wonder if they know what they are saying. They will come up with all sorts of excuse. They will criticize the church. They will criticize that. To excuse themselves. Because, you see, they want an excuse to drift and drift away. They want to feel good in the ungodliness that they are doing and drifting deeper and deeper in it. They don't want you to trouble their conscience. We must not be foolish enough to help them justify themselves. Because the Almighty God will give them what they want. Read, brother.
And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that Egyptians may know that I am the Lord.
It's terrible when the Almighty God have to prove to you or me that he's God. That's right. It's a terrible thing. Read on.
And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, why have we done this?
In other words, they let the children of Israel go. That was God's plea. While the children of Israel were heading toward the Red Sea, and therefore towards the promised land, Pharaoh's heart changed and said, what a mistake. How did we make this mistake to let the Israelite go? You see, it's the Almighty God doing that, you know.
Yeah.
The Almighty God wants to get them in the Red Sea to destroy them. Uh-huh. That's right, God. Brother Mitchell, I see him. God, you and I worship today. See him one.
Sorry.
See him one. Because, you see, Pharaoh had already hardened his heart against God. Read on a little more, brother.
Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot.
Notice how many chariots. Read.
And took his people with him.
Read.
And he took 600 chosen chariots.
Wait. Can you imagine 600 armored vehicle? 600 armored vehicle. to pursue the Israelite, the only thing they have is stick. And he thought that his 600 armored vehicle would give him sure victory over the Israelite and over Israel God. May I? When God abandoned man, our thinking is faulty. That's right. We cannot think right. You may stop there, brother. I would wish we have time to read all of it. Take, for example, Balaam. God gave up on Balaam. I'm just showing you that when we read in the book of Romans that God gave up on people, it may be strange to you. You hear about the merciful, the gracious God. Yes, God is merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. But that God will give up on man, you are me, is not a new thing. God has been doing that. Not only Pharaoh, but Balaam, as recorded in the book of Numbers chapter 22. Let me hear verse 12.
And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed.
You all hear that? Is that plain? Is that clear? You can't get it plainer than that. But watch here now. Like men then, men and women today, God gave a plain directive. Balak wants you to curse my people Israel. You shall not do that. Neither shall you go and be a part of their company. Plain. Watch here now. Step down to 18 following.
And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver.
You know, sometimes I'm sorry we cannot read all the verses, but because of time, what is happening here? May I have your attention? Is that after God told him that he should not go, very plainly, the heathen king, the Gentile king Balak, offered him honor, gold, you see that thing called money, another worldly attractiveness in one form or the other. That's what usually get people. So the heathen king offered him honor and gold. And his reply sounds good. Let us hear it. If thou shalt.
If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God.
Brothers, this is good. This is wise. But let us follow Balaam a little further. Read on.
To do less or more.
I cannot do beyond what God commands. This should be our attitude today. We should respect God's word. Read on.
Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night.
Watch here now. He's going to be stepping in the slippery slope. You don't see what I see. The Almighty God had already spoken to the man plainly. Don't curse Israel because Balak asked you to. Don't go with them. Don't fellowship with them. Play. That is in verse 12. And he came, watch here now, and his mouth says the right thing. I cannot go beyond what God says. But his action, are we there? Because of that money, that honor. Huh? You know what he tell them? He said, look here. Wait a while. Let me go and talk to God again to see if him changes mind. My God, that just a few minutes ago, God tell you not to go. And because the man promised you some things, you want to go and worry God again? Are we all there? Do you know we are like that in many ways? At least some of us. Huh? Huh? There are some people who cannot accept and be content with what God says or what God gives them. So he tells them, wait a while. That time God must be there saying, wait a while for what?
Yeah.
I have already spoken to you plainly. Read, brother.
That I may know what the Lord will say unto me more.
Oh, Lord of mercy, oh, Lord of mercy. In verse 12, the Almighty God spoke. Huh? He said, wait a while. Then in verse 18 following, he's telling, wait, let me see if the Almighty God changes mind by now. You see? It is Balak who changed his mind. Read.
And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them.
Wait. Wait. Everybody see? This you should use this to help you understand God. Just here, a few minutes. So to speak, God had told him, don't go. A few minutes pass. And God says, if the men, that's the same people from Bala, if they come and ask you to go, go. God still didn't want him to go, you know. But the Almighty God is now abandoning him. Go! That means if you are so disobedient, and as my country people would say, out of hearing, that in spite of my plain directives to you, you still are bent and going, I'm going to help you to go. God says, go, read on.
But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do.
Uh-huh.
And Balaam rose up in the morning.
Watch here. Uh-huh.
And saddled his ass.
Uh-huh.
And went with the princes of Moab.
Uh-huh.
And God.
Remember, Balak was the leader, the king of Moab, the Moabites. Read.
And the Lord's anger was kindled against, because he went.
Wait. Somebody here is saying, what's wrong with God? He just tell the man here in verse 18, 19 to go and God get vexed upon him now. You see? no wrong with God. It's for you and I to understand God. It's that God is abandoning the man. God is giving the man what the man really wants. He didn't want to obey God. He wanted to have his own way. And when you or I or any man or woman want to have our own way, morally, ethically, religiously, doctrinally, worshipfully, God will give us our own way. You want entertainment in worship, God will provide that for you. And the Almighty God will provide it in such a way that it intoxicates you. You don't want anything but it. God was mad. Read on a little further.
And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him.
Mm-hmm. You hear that? This is not negative business. It's God taking positive steps to oppose, to fight again, and to destroy the man. God sent an angel to block the path of the donkey he was riding. Read.
Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass...
Isn't it unfortunate that a dumb animal see what we can't see? But that's what happened to us when we dislike what God gives. You see, it's important that we want for ourselves what God wants for us. Is that John?
Yeah.
Good to see you, John. That's right. It's important that we want for ourselves what God wants for us. The Almighty God wants for us that when we come together like this, we come to worship Him. That we do not come seeking entertainment. Because worship is never about the worshiper. It's about God, what God wants. The donkey saw what he didn't see, his own danger. Read on a little further, brother.
And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field.
Mm-hmm.
And Balaam smote the ass.
He hit the donkey.
To turn her into the way.
Mm-hmm.
But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards.
He was between a rock and a hard place. There was a narrow path that the dumb donkey couldn't pass there, because you see, the narrow stretch, the angel with his sword drawn was right there. There was no place to go right or left. Read.
A wall being on this side and a wall on that side.
Read.
And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall.
All of this, you know, is from God. But when we are stubborn, we are stubborn. Read.
And he smote her again.
Uh-huh.
And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place.
Uh-huh.
Wait,
watch it. The Almighty God at the same time giving him a chance to come to his senses. But he would not come to his... Brothers and sisters. In your life, is it at the workplace? Always remember God. When you're dealing with fellow worker at the workplace, God is watching you. Is it in the home? Is it in the home? Children and parents, wife and husband. Make sure you act right in the sight of God.
Amen.
Because sooner or later, God will step in to deal with your wrongness, wrong attitude, wrong words, wrong conduct, treating one another in ways that are against God's will. And then some of us say, me no care. God will help you to care. And we are never going to like it when God help us to care. No. Because I'm kind, I'm giving you this brata. Learn in whatever state to always bring God in the picture. Because the Almighty God has his own way, sooner or later, to bring men to their senses. It is unfortunate, but some of us so many times do not take the lesson. Read a little more, brother.
And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled.
You see, fell down. First the ass rubbed his leg against the wall and probably hurt him. He, man, was still stubborn. Then the ass, we call it in country, the donkey lied down. That's right. We experience that. We country people. Yes, we have these university experience. You don't. That's right. The donkey will lie down with you with the two hamper and tea. And that's exactly what the donkey did. But all this was God's doing. May I again, brothers and sisters, don't be stubborn. Please, don't be stubborn against the will of God. Show respect for it. Read on.
And he smote the ass with the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam,
mm-hmm.
What have I done unto thee that thou spit me?
Every time I read this passage, it tells me when men are stubborn. And I said, as I've dealt with Christians over the past umpteen years, five or so decades, and backsliding, and faithful Christians want to justify, and they find all the excuses because they do not have the maturity to see that they are responsible. And in many cases, their situation is so blatant and obvious, but they cannot see it. Here you have it. When the Almighty God permit a dumb animal to talk, do you want more sign? My God, man, that's a miracle. Most of us, having that experience, we would pick up our foot and run. Truly, I would run. Riding on a donkey and the donkey talk to me with human voice. Oh my God, I would run so much. I would wonder what's going on. But this man was so far gone that even that God is showing the man sign and him no get it.
And Balaam said unto the ass.
Hear it gone further. You see, but this happens to us. But when you find a human being who's supposed to be rational and intelligent and sane talking to a donkey, it tells you the person is far gone. But this is what happened when God abandoned us. When God gives up on you or me or any man or woman, the unnatural things happen. Read.
Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand,
mm-hmm.
for now would I kill thee.
Mm-hmm.
And the ass said unto Balaam,
Wait now. If I had a sword in mine, I would kill you, the donkey. Poor Balaam, him no know say, I donkey make the angel no kill him. You see the point? He said, donkey, make the angel no kill him. And the angel, read a little further, brother.
And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden, ever since I was thine unto this day?
You know, I just care. I find it astonishing that a donkey attacked and the man stand right there and listen. No, any one of us, unless we are drunk, stone drunk, we would stand there and attack back to the dumb animal. But brothers and sisters, I keep reminding you, this is what happened when God turned his back on us. We become irrational. We cannot think right. Don't let that happen to you. Remain faithful to God. Grow in Christ. Read on, brother.
Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam.
Uh-huh. And he said, all along I got blind him, you know. May I? Whatsoever things were written aforetime, help me here.
Were written for our learning.
God can also blind us when we are stubborn. Read on.
And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way.
Mm-hmm.
and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face.
Read on a little further.
And the angel of the Lord said unto him.
That's what I want you to hear, what the angel said.
Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times?
Why you have beat up the dumb animals of these three times? The angel knew exactly how many times him hit the donkey. Read.
Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me.
You all get that? You see, that's one of the reasons God abandoned us. When our ways are perverse, it's bent away from God. It's twisted. We must make sure we go straight with God, and that we love his straight way. Wait! Even when we fail from the straight way, we must respect the straight way. Read.
And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive.
Is the angel a tell him, if the ass didn't turn from me, I would kill you? What is the point? I'm still on the point that God, from ever since, has been giving up on man. I've just given you Pharaoh is one case. Balaam is one. We don't have time, because I want to go a little further before I close this part of the lesson. Ahab is another case. And he is a tragic case. We are God going to use a lying prophet to deceive him? And you know this, this, may I? You see, ladies and gentlemen, brother, when we do not love God's truth, when men and women don't love the gospel truth, you can expect anything from God. I make the statement not long ago that we must learn to love that which God wants for us. And we must pursue it with diligence. That's how we're going to get God's help. But you see, when the Bible teaches something and we don't like it, baptism for the removal of sin, women place in the church, covering to show reverence to God, to show submission, to accept God's stratification of headship, and you just don't like it, then the Almighty God will give you what you like with a passion. Truly, truly, truly. Ladies and gentlemen, from the dawn of time till now, there has always been mortals, men and women who either they want to prove God wrong, or two, they want to make God's word or the Bible fiction. It comes from man's imagination. Or three, they want to tell God's people that they have been deceived by the Bible. Yes, from the dawn of time, you have always had men and women like that. Some of them are at your workplace. Some of them are members of your family, live right in your house. When you tell them what the Bible teaches, they laugh at you. And they'll come up with their ignorance and give you a dozen reasons why the Bible is man-made book. You understand? And for them, yes, probably there's a God, but let God mind his business. Yes, there have always been men and women like that. And today we have them plentifully. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 7, talks about these. Let us hear it, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. Men and women who either want to prove God wrong, they want to make the Bible a book of fiction made up by human imagination, or the one to tell the Christian that the Christians have been deceived. Let us hear the passage.
Knowing this first. That there shall come.
Wait. What the inspired writer Peter means here is that we must keep this in the upper part of our mind. Knowing this first, that there shall come.
In the last days.
Brother Webb, we are in the last days according to the Bible.
That's right.
Read on.
In these last days, scoffers.
Scoffers. Wait. These are men and women who mock. Scoffers, walking
after their own lusts.
Wait, it's their own desire.
Mm-hmm.
Their own wishful thinking. A lot of time people talk about their wishful thinking as if it is fact. And sometimes you and I get deceived. You can't see through it that the person is just expressing what they would like. That's right. And if you don't do better, you fall for it. Bible talks about walking after their own lust. That is their own likeness. What they want. What they desire. Read on.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming?
You see, here is it. You get the drift here? They wish that Jesus Christ will not be coming again. That's what they want. That's what they want. They don't want to know that he's coming again. So they are dealing with it as if they know of a fact that he's not coming. And you know what? In the meantime, they are laughing at you that you have been deceived in believing that Jesus Christ is going to come back. The Holy Spirit says, it's their own desire they are expressing.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the
in
beginning.
In other words,
of creation.
I've been hearing about judgment and the coming back of Jesus Christ from I was a child. And things remain the same. How you Christian permit the Bible to fool you like that? And they always talk, you know, like they are the smartest person in the world. And please, Christian, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Read on.
For this they willingly are ignorant of.
Wait. The inspired Peter said their ignorance is a willing thing.
Mm-hmm.
This they are willingly ignorant of. Wait. They are ignorant because they want to be ignorant. That's the ignorance that God will not overlook. This they willingly are ignorant of, meaning the ignorance is purpose. Read on.
That by the word of God, the heavens were of old,
mm-hmm.
and the earth standing out of the water,
mm-hmm.
and in the water,
mm-hmm.
whereby the world that then was,
mm-hmm.
being overflowed with water, perished.
What the inspired writer is doing here is that the same word that tell about the coming of Jesus Christ to judge men is the same word that tell about God's creative act. And those words didn't fail.
Yeah.
They didn't fail. So you don't let these people fool you. Time. I was about to deal with the fact that the text of Romans, you see, that's where the message surrounds the passage in Romans chapter 1. You can read from verse 18 through 28, but we are looking at verse 24 through 28. The passage is dealing with, why God abandoned men and women, and when God does it, what you can expect. I was just about to deal with the why. But time will not permit me today. Suffice it to say that some of the most important aspect of this lesson is left for the second part. Permit me to inform you today that even the lesson prepared for today, I succeeded in sharing with you only half, only part of the lesson. I had planned to just drop by Pharaoh, Balaam, and Ahab by, but a lot of times in rushing, we leave out important things. And this is why I have some of these passages to be read. The one dealing with Pharaoh, the one dealing with Balaam. So that we not only read the passage, but we understand their implication for us. Now, as I've said, as we close, as we wrap up here, we want to get into, that's what's my plan, into the book of Romans, where the Almighty God is telling us why. And this is important to you and me. Not only why God abandoned men, give up on men and women, but what are some of the things we can expect when that happens? This will come in next week's lesson. I hope it will not be a three-part lesson, but if it is, so be it. I can only guarantee you this. In each segment of this lesson, there are much to learn by Christians and non-Christian alike. We don't want to put ourselves in the place where God give up on us. Very important, we don't. Because our situation becomes hopeless when God gives up on us. I beg you, I encourage you, don't ever drift to the point where God gives up on you. Don't ever accept a way of life and a thinking and attitude where God gives up on you. A lot of time when God gives up on us, we feel good about ourselves. That's a terrible thing. I invite you next week to come and study more of this with us and for you to bring somebody with you. Suffice it to say, you have heard enough today to want to draw closer to God. You have heard enough today to want to become a child of God, to let the Almighty God through His Word implant in you a right heart, a right mind, a right thinking. You have heard enough today to want to make you want to recommit your life to the Almighty God, so that God can help you think right and see right thing. You know, one of the things we should remember is even when some abnormal and natural things were happening with Balaam, Balaam treated it as if it was natural. Show how far gone the man was. Please. Don't permit yourself to be that far gone. Today, you can become a child of God by believing in the leadership of the Almighty God through the gospel of Christ. By wanting to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. When you believe, you are not a Christian by mere belief. You must repent. In the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 1 to about 3, Jesus Christ said, except you repent, you too shall perish. After repentance, you must be willing to confess Jesus' name. And after you confess Jesus' name, you must be willing to submit yourself to baptism. Wait. Baptism is not sprinkling. It is not confirmation. Baptism is a burial under water like Jesus was buried in the tomb. Mr. Mitchell, does that take 3 days? One day I believe, another day I repent, another day after I think about it, I confess Christ's name, and after I thought about that 1 or 2 days, I get baptized. No, in the Bible, it takes place the very same time. Men and women in the book of Acts, the book of conversion, heard, believe, repent, confess Christ's name, and were baptized the same hour. You can do the same right now as we stand and sing. Number 578 is the psalm.